This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and peace be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah, to please Allah, to remember Allah, and to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that the more you know Him, the more you love Him. The more you love Him, the closer you become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does love that moment that His servant gets closer to Him. As much as you do love to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it even more than you for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, how amazing is that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you, you need Allah. Allah doesn't need you, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why there's a verse that we recite every single day, if not 10 times, 20 times, even 30 times. قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. A lot of us probably don't even know. Don't even know what As-Samad means. As-Samad is the one that everyone needs. And he does not need anyone. That's As-Samad. That's one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Samad. The one that everyone needs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone. And this is an attribute only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one on the face of this earth, no one in the universe, no one from the creation of Allah azza wa jal has the attribute that everyone needs Him, it doesn't need anyone. Yes, you might have people that people need them, but at the end of the day, they need others. And they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's asked, and He never asks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that everyone resorts to, and He doesn't need to resort to anyone. That's As-Samad. And alhamdulillah, we get together to know Allah, the Samad, the one that we need to ask and get closer to Him. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves is that moment that when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like us as human beings. We as human beings, we don't like to be asked. We don't like. I don't like people to ask me too many things. And you as a human being, you don't like people to ask you too many things. Even if it's your own son and daughter, even if it's your own mother and father, you don't like to be asked. The first time, yes, you've got a smile, and you give your son and daughter, ask you for money, you give the first time, the second time, third time, حِلُّ عَنِّي, I don't want to give you anymore. Subhanallah, it's our nature. We're human beings at the end of that. We don't like to be asked. Don't ask me too many things. Even if it's the closest people to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be asked. Allah loves that moment when His servant raises hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks Allah azza wa jal. Allah loves it. Allah loves it. Yes, Allah loves it. That moment that you raise your hands to Allah and you say, Ya Rab, give me this. Ya Allah, grant me that. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, He commands. Allah commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not recommending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will respond to you. So Allah loves that moment that you ask Him. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves to be asked is for you to consult Allah. Which is our topic tonight. And this is the chapter that we're in. 97th chapter of the book of Riyadh al-Salihin. Babul istikharati. والمشاورتي. The chapter of istikhara, which is seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consulting Allah azza wa jal, and consultation in general. What we're going to focus on tonight inshallah is the istikhara, which is something that's common. Everyone knows istikhara, especially when they want to get married. Subhanallah. Everyone knows istikhara. You know how many times people call me and they say, Sheikh, I want to get married. Someone told me about istikhara. It's like istikhara is connected to marriage. That's the only time you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, is when you want to get married. Before and after, there's no istikhara. As if istikhara is specifically there when you want to get married. Specifically there when you want to get married. But before and after, there's no istikhara. No, that's not right. Istikhara is for any matter. As we mentioned the hadith here that inshallah we'll be talking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be asked, whether you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something to grant you or for something to be lifted away from you. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you something. Ya Allah, give me money. Ya Allah, give me wealth. Ya Allah, give me health. Ya Allah, give me strength. You're asking Allah to give you something. Or you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate or to remove something. Ya Allah, take this illness away from me. Take this hardship away from me. Take this problem away from me. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take this problem away from you. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things that you ask Allah azza wa jalla for guidance. You ask Allah for guidance. And who's better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to ask for guidance? Allah is the greatest for you to ask for guidance. If there's anyone knows, or if there's anyone that you should be asking for guidance, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's anyone that knows the best of affairs and the best of things for you, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, commanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consult the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And washawirum fil amr, oh Muhammad, consult them. And that's the verse of this chapter. But here we're talking about istikhara between you and Allah azza wa jal. So the concept of istikhara, consulting with the creation of Allah azza wa jal, is there. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah that receives revelation from Allah. Allah commanded to consult the Sahaba. So the concept of consultation, which is mashwara, mashwara, you consult, it is something that's well embedded in the Sharia. Something that's well embedded in the Sharia, you should be consulting. And the greatest one for you to consult is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jalla wants you to consult one another. And at the same time, Allah wants you to seek His guidance towards any matter that you've got in your life. So now you've got two different consultations. One with the creation of Allah, the other one with the Creator. Now obviously the consultation with the creation is nowhere near the consultation with the Creator. Because when you consult me, I could be wrong, I could be wrong. But when you consult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no possibility of wrong. It's only right. You might come and ask me, what do you think of this person? What do you think of that? What do you think of this business? I could say, you know what, it's good, but it ends up to be bad. I'm a human being. I'll make mistakes. But that does not apply on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the beautiful thing about the Sharia is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sharia is always emphasizing on the point that you are part of a community. Consult one another. Allah commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You think about it, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't need to consult anyone. All he's got to do is speak to Allah, and Allah azza wa jalla show him the guidance. What would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go and speak to the rest of the Sahaba? Why should he even go and speak to the Sahaba? The consultation that he's going to get from the Sahaba is nowhere near what he'll get from Allah azza wa jalla. So if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to know something about a particular matter, why should he go and speak to the creation of Allah? Speak directly to Allah, speak to Jibreel. He'll get the best advice. But Allah wants to teach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the importance of consulting the Sahaba, consulting one another. Even though you're a leader, even though you're a prophet, even though you're a messenger, even though you've got direct access to Allah, you've got direct access to the greatest service from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to teach you, Muhammad, to consult your companions. And this is obviously to teach us all the importance of consulting one another. And that's the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to consult the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum on everything, even though he knew them, even though the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows what's best for him and the Ummah, but he used to consult the Sahaba. To teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum the importance of consulting one another, the importance of working together as a community. So much so, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even consult his own wives. The very famous hadith when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the Hudaybiyah treaty. He consulted Umm Salama. What should he do? Consultation. You tell a brother, you know what? You should go and consult your wife. Me? Nah. I'm the man. Why should I even be consulting my wife? You know, it's like, you know, that pride. You know better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get together with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum over a small matter just to consult him. But it's not about what he's going to get from them. It's about the consultation process. What you get from the consultation. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the best consultancy service. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the wording applies. Asking Allah azza wa jalla, Ya Allah, guide me to this, guide me to that. So this is what we call a mashwara. And obviously the greatest one for you to ask is Allah azza wa jalla. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the process of you asking Allah for guidance over a particular matter that you are unsure of, or confused in, we call it in the Sharia, istikhara. 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 So my brothers and my sisters, istikhara is when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Not the general guidance, because we always ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa arafa ya Rabb ihdina. Allah mahdina fi man hadayt. Oh Allah, guide me. That's general guidance that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the right path. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to what pleases Him. That's the general guidance. But istikhara is when you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to a specific issue that you are unsure of or you are confused in, that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you the path. Such as marriage, for example, and not limited to marriage. You know, I'm interested in this woman. Is she good for me? Is she bad? I don't know. From the outside, mashallah, she looks like an angel. I want to know if she's the right woman for me or not. Maybe she is an angel from the inside, but she's probably not suitable for me. Or maybe him. I want to get married to him. As a woman, I want to get married to him. I want to know if he's a suitable person for me or not. That's an istikhara. You're applying for this job. You don't know whether to take this job or not. You're planning to travel. You don't know whether to travel or not. And that's why in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam used to teach the sahaba? عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كالسورة من القرآن الكريم يقول إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر. Listen to the hadith. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach us that istikhara, which is seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, في الأمور كلها, in all matters, big or small. Okay, again, in all matters, big matters or small matters, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. So not necessarily when you're stuck and you don't know whether you get married to her or get married to him or not, that's when you ask Allah, that's alhamdulillah, now there's something, Shaykh, can you teach me istikhara? Straight away, and when someone calls me and tells me istikhara, Shaykh, can you teach me istikhara? You're planning to get married, yeah. Subhanallah, that's it. Always, istikhara, marriage. But what did Jabir here say? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to teach istikhara in all matters. Big or small, getting married or even divorce. Istikhara, yes, istikhara. Even applying for a job, buying this house, traveling. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum istikhara in all matters. Not specifically and limited to getting married. Not only wallahi when you have this issue, in all matters. And that's why if you look into the character of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, don't be surprised if they used to pray istikhara every single day. For matters. Because at the end of the day, your life should be in accordance to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Should be in accordance to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes you might be confused. And being confused, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes you are confused. So don't look at it and start degrading yourself and say, oh, because you're dumb, because you're disconnected from Allah. See how the shaitan manages to penetrate? Oh, because you are disconnected from Allah, because this, because of that. No, I'm confused. I don't know. I want to go overseas. I don't know if it's the best thing for me to go overseas or not. I want to pursue this job. I don't know if it's the best thing for me or not. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, seek consultations from your friends, from your mates, from senior people, leaders in the community, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. So you've got two different aspects. Seeking guidance from people, seeking guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And you should ask both. Ask both. So for example, you want to get married to this woman as a man, or you want to get married to this man as a woman. Ask about them. Don't wallah, just look at, oh, glamorous. Oh, how beautiful this person is. You know, that's it. Khalas, closed, that's it. I'm going to go for him. No, ask their reputation. What do you know about them? Because at the end of the day, you see things from the outside. There's other things that you haven't seen. There's another side that you don't see. Ask around. What do you know about this person? What do you know about that brother? What do you know about this sister? And at the same time, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you the guidance. So here, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum al-istikhara, which is seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he used to teach them a verse from the Quran al-Kareem. And how did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum a verse from the Quran al-Kareem? That's on a regular basis. Every single day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum verses from the Quran al-Kareem. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive verses, new verses from the Quran al-Karim on a regular basis. So you could imagine how Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum istikhara, the way he used to teach him a verse from the Quran al-Karim. Ongoing, regular, always. Teaching the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum istikhara, istikhara, istikhara. If you are confused over a matter, you need guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray to Allah azza wa jalla, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. So istikhara is a big thing to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, because it was a big thing from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only when you get married, not only when you have a major issue in your life, no, major or minor, big or small. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كالسورة من القرآن الكريم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to constantly teach us استخارة, which is seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he used to teach us a verse or a surah or chapter from the Quran al-Karim. And then I want everyone to pay attention. Everyone pay attention, because this is a very important sentence here. يقول إذا هم أحدكم بأمر. Okay. So Jabir is saying that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will constantly teach us the istikhara prayer in all our matters, in all our matters, the way he used to teach us a verse from the Quran al-Karim. Then he says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, if you are concerned, again, highlight it, if you are concerned, if you are concerned over a matter, you pray istikhara. Okay, what's concerned? If you are confused, if you're not sure, if you are undecided, if you have doubts, but if you know that this is 100%, just go for it. Like for example, I'm going for two jobs. One job pays better, Islamically better, environment-wise better, everything's good in it, ticks all the boxes. The other one ticks half of the boxes. There's no confusion here, just go for it. The only time that you need to do the istikhara is when you are confused, you have a bit of reservations here, you are concerned. But if you know that this is 100% perfect for you, just go for it. So yes, the concept of istikhara is so important, but not every single thing that you do in your life you have to do istikhara, if you are concerned. And obviously these days we are concerned over everything, including ourselves. Sometimes we need to make istikhara to make sure that we are on the right path or not. That's how concerned we are these days. Confused. But inshallah, we're only going to get better inshallah. With more knowledge, seeking knowledge, gatherings like these gatherings, inshallah, we're only going to get better. So, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ. So if you are concerned ever, if you are concerned ever, if you are confused over a matter, if you are concerned over a matter, you pray istikhara. If you have one choice and you know that this is the right choice for you, Islamically and worldly wise. Islamically and worldly wise. And that's why, yes, we live in this dunya, and I need to take this dunya in consideration, but also I need to take the akhirah in consideration. We've got the two extremes. One extreme that only take the dunya, this worldly matter, this worldly world, into consideration, no consideration for the hereafter. Then you've got the other extreme. It's all about the hereafter, nothing about this dunya. No, no, you're wrong. You are wrong. You need to balance the two together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran al-Kareem. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't neglect your portion, your right in this dunya. You are living in this dunya. You are part of this dunya and the dunya is part of you. You have to balance it out. So you need to consider the dunya, you need to consider the akhirah. Which one takes preference? Of course the akhirah over the dunya, but then you are part of the dunya at the end of the day. So as I mentioned, unfortunately these days we've got two extremes. One extreme that goes all at dunya, all at this world, no consideration of the akhirah, or you've got the other extreme, all that hereafter, akhirah, no consideration of this dunya. No, 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 we need to balance it. It's all about that balance, striking that balance in between the dunya and the akhirah, between this world and the hereafter. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if one of you is concerned over a particular matter, then you pray two rak'at, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. You pray two rak'at. How many rak'at? Two. Not qiyam al-layl, 20 rak'at. It's only two rak'at. We call it the two rak'at of istikhara. Two rak'at. That's outside the faridah. It's got nothing to do with the faridah. What are the fara'id? The two fajr, four dhuhr, four asr, three maghrib, and four isha. These are the fara'id. So these are an extra two voluntary, non-obligatory rak'at that you pray beside the 17 rak'at that you pray as an obligatory prayers. And those two rak'at can be prayed any time during the day and night, except the forbidden times, which are from Fajr to sunrise and from Asr to sunset. And 20 minutes before Salat, al-Dhuhr, according to some of the madahib, which is Zawal, the Zenith. Okay? So you could pray Salat al-Istikhara, not necessarily that if you want to pray Istikhara, because that's another thing that people have stuck in their mind. You pray before you go to sleep. You don't talk to anyone. Don't talk to anyone. You have to pray before you go to sleep. Go to sleep. The wife is talking to you. No. I just performed Istikhara. Where did you get this from? You can perform Istikhara during any time of the day. No one said it's got to be done before you go to sleep. You could do it any time. Beside the forbidden times, which is Fajr until sunrise, Asr until sunset, and according to some of them, 20 minutes before Salat al-Dhuhr until Salat al-Dhuhr. These are the forbidden times. So you could pray Salat al-Istikhara any time of the day. And it's only two rak'at. Two simple rak'at. And the scholars recommend that in the first rak'ah you read, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And the second rak'ah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Simple, two simple rak'at. So the best thing is for you to perform wudu, focus on your wudu and concentrate. Then you go and pray two rak'at with the intention, Ya Allah, I'm praying those two rak'at with the intention to consult you. These two rak'at are called the two rak'at istikhara. Seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istikhara in Arabic means seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking guidance. Okay, istikhara means seeking guidance. But obviously seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pray two simple rak'at. After you perform wudu, you pray those two rak'at with the intention that, Ya Allah, I'm praying those two rak'at with the intention that I'm seeking your guidance over this particular matter. And it can be prayed during any time of the day beside the forbidden times that we mentioned before. And then you make the dua. The dua is in Arabic. The dua is in Arabic. Okay? The dua you make it after you pray the two rak'at. So you pray the two rak'at, and it's recommended that you read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rak'at, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ in the second rak'at, two simple rak'at. You don't have to, mashallah, prolong those two rak'at for half an hour. Two simple rak'at. Perform wudu, Allahu Akbar, Fatiha, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, the ruku', سَمِعَ اللَّهُ حَمِدًا, sujood, concentrate. Then after you give salam, salamu alaykum rahmatullah, salamu alaykum rahmatullah, you had finished the two rak'at, you raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make the dua. The dua, which is been mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, been taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakhdiruka biqudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim fa innaka taqdir wa la aqdir wa ta'lam wa la a'lam wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa 'aqibati amri. And then you mention that fayassiru li, there's another narration that says أو عاجل أمري أو آجله فقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري عاجل أمري وآجله فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ردني به. Okay, so you've got different narrations of additional phrases in the hadith to the end of it. So the dua in general is saying, Oh Allah, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik. Ya Allah, I am seeking your guidance with your knowledge. Ya Allah, I'm seeking your guidance with your knowledge. At the end of the day, you are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance over a specific matter. Say, Ya Allah, I'm asking you to guide me. Wa astakhdiruka biqudratik. Oh Allah, I'm seeking your strength because you are the one that has the ultimate power. Wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim. I am asking you from the great bounties that you have. Fa innaka taqdir wa la aqdir. Oh Allah, you can do whatever you want. I can't do whatever I want. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do, He can do. But you can't do whatever you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants. Wa ta'lam wa la a'lam. And you know, and I don't know. Allah knows everything. He doesn't know everything. And your knowledge compared to Allah azza wa jalla is so minimal. Wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. Ya Allah, you know everything, the unseen and the seen. Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa 'aqibatu amri. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter is best for me and for my dunya. Shuf, subhanallah, look at this, how amazing it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is teaching in this dua. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you the goodness of this matter that you are concerned over, if it's good for your dunya and your akhirah. Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa 'aqibatu amri. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter is good for me,
in this world and the hereafter. So you need to take in consideration this world and the hereafter. And then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you ask Allah azza wa jal, if it's good for you in this dunya, and if it's good for your livelihood, if it's good for you this, if it's good for you that, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you. فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. Ya Allah, decree and make it easy upon me, ordain it upon me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. Oh Allah, bless it for me. So Ya Allah, I'm asking you, that I'm confused over this matter, and I'm asking you, Ya Allah, that if this matter is good for me, and it's good for my deen, and it's good for my dunya, and it's good for my livelihood, Ya Allah, make it easy for me. Ordain it upon me. And bless it for me. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ شَرٌّ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةُ أَمْرِي. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter that I'm asking you over, and I'm concerned over, if you know that it's evil for me, it's harmful for me, and it's harmful for my deen, it's harmful for my dunya, it's harmful for my livelihood, Ya Allah, keep me away from it and keep it away from me. So this is in summary. You are asking and saying, Ya Rab, you know, I don't know. You can, I can't. You are the Lord of the universe. You know everything. And for that, I'm consulting you. Ya Allah, I'm seeking your guidance over this matter. If this matter is good for me, good for my religion, good for my dunya, good for my livelihood, Ya Allah, make it easy for me. Bless it. Ordain it upon me. If this matter is harmful for me, harmful for my religion, harmful for my dunya, harmful for my livelihood, Ya Allah, keep me away from it and keep it away from me. Distance me from it. So in summary, this is the dua that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to make. And then at the end of that dua, you mention the matter that you are concerned over. At the end of the dua, you mention the matter that you are concerned over. At the end of it, you mention the matter that you're concerned. So for example, Ya Allah, if she's good for me, if he is good for me, if this job is good for me, if this business is good for me, traveling if it's good for me. So you read that dua, you read it in Arabic. You read it in Arabic. Then after you read the dua in Arabic, that's after you finish from the salah. So you perform the salah and you gave salam, you make this dua. After you make this dua, you recite this dua. After you recited this dua and you finish from reciting this dua, then you mention the matter that you are concerned over. You mention the matter that you're confused in. You mention after you make that dua, and then you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, my brothers and my sisters, you pray the two rak'at. After you finish the two rak'at, you make this dua, you raise your hands to Allah azza wa jal. Also, what's recommended that when you make this dua, one of the etiquettes of making the dua is that you start your dua with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. So you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you send peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one of the etiquettes of the dua. One of the etiquettes of the dua, you start your dua with Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. The simplest way, Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. You begin your dua with that and you end your dua with that. Again, one of the etiquettes of the dua that you start the dua with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad, and you end your dua with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. You raise your hands to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now obviously, raising your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a gesture of humbleness to Allah Azza wa Jal. A gesture of humility to your creator. That, Ya Allah, I'm asking you. It's like when someone comes and asks you for money, if they're going to say, bro, give me money. You're going to give money? When they come to you, look, akhi, please, can you give me money? Like, it's a gesture of humbleness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord. Allah azza wa jal is your creator. So you need to humble yourself to Allah. So when you ask Allah azza wa jal, Ya Allah, give me. No. Raise your hands to Allah. A sign of humility and humbleness. Ya Rab, I'm asking you, I'm humbling myself. I'm showing you a sign of servitude and slavery. Ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, grant me that. So you start your dua with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad, or any phrase around that. So not necessarily the one I'm saying, but as long as you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you send peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you read this dua that we read before. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakhdiruka bi'qudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim fa innaka taqdir wa la aqdar وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري عاجل أمري وآجله فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري عاجل أمري وآجله فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم رضني به. And then after you read the dua, you mention the matter that you are confused in. Now obviously, and I could hear people thinking, but Shaykh, do I have to mention in Arabic? Like how do I say, Ya Allah, is this lady good for me in Arabic? You don't have to mention Arabic, you could mention in English, any language. So not necessarily that you have to mention your matter in Arabic, you could mention your matter in any language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created the languages, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the languages. Okay, what about the dua? Preferably, that you make this dua in Arabic, because that's the dua that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made. Okay, do you have to memorize it? No, put it right in front of you like this. And start reading it. Okay, raise your hands. Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalamu ala rasulullah. And you read it out of the book. Read it out of the device. Read it out of your phone. Read it out of your iPad. Read it out of TV. Read it out of anywhere. So it's not necessarily that you have to memorize this dua for you to make this dua. You read the two, or you pray the two rak'ahs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After you finish, put the paper in front of you, put the dua book, put your iPhone in front of you, and then you read the dua. Allahumma inna astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakhdiruka bi'qudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim. Read it out. Then after you finish, then you mention the matter that you are confused in. After you finish, you mention the matter that you are confused in, or the matter that you're concerned over. Okay, what about if I don't know how to read Arabic? No problems. If you don't know how to read Arabic, read it in English. Preferably to read it in Arabic. But if you didn't read it in Arabic, read it in English. Do I have to read the transliteration? If you can't read it in transliteration, then read the meaning of it in Arabic. What about Shaykh, it's becoming too much on me. You know what, don't worry about all that. Pray the two rak'at, raise your hand, say, Ya Rab, I'm confused over this matter. Ya Allah, make it easy for me. Ya Allah, choose what's right for me. If you can't. Now, preferably, of course, for you to pray the two rak'at and to read the Arabic dua, because that's the dua the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made. That's the dua the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But if it's becoming too complicated, in which I'm struggling to comprehend that this is going to become too complicated early for someone who just embraced Islam a few days ago, but otherwise it shouldn't be a problem. But if it's too complicated for you, then you pray the two rak'at with the intention of seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You raise your hands to Allah and say, Ya Rab, I'm confused over this matter. Ya Allah, choose what's right for me. Ya Allah, accept what's right for me. Ya Allah, make it easy for me if it's good. Ya Allah, distance me away from it if it's bad. This and that, you could make the dua. But preferably it's for you to follow the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you make the dua. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. You read the dua, read it out of a paper, read it out of an iPad, read it out of your phone, whatever it is. You read it in Arabic, then you mention, Ya Allah, I'm getting married to this lady, or I'm getting married to this sister, or I'm getting married to this woman, or I'm getting married to this man, or I'm getting married to this, or Ya Allah, I'm going into this business venture, or I'm going overseas. Ya Allah, choose what's right for me. Because at the end of the day, you are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. So the way you talk to someone, when you go up to someone and say to him, look, akhi, I'm planning to open a business. What's your thoughts on it? Show me the path. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I intend to open this business. Ya Allah, choose what's right for me. Ya Allah, choose what's best for me. If it's good for me, Ya Allah, bring it closer to me. If it's bad for me, Ya Allah, distance me away from it. And then you end your dua. So that's the first part of it. The second part, how many times do you do istikhara? There's nothing concrete. There's nothing concrete in the sunnah that says you do it 3 times, 7 times, 50 times, 100 times. However, the scholars had recommended that you do it 3 to 7 times until you get the answer. Okay, how do you get the answer? We'll talk about it later. So you do it from 3 to 7 times every day, first day, second day, third day, up to 7 days. All night, you continue making istikhara in the same process. Wudu, 2 rak'at, after the 2 rak'at, you raise your hands to Allah Azza wa Jal, read the dua in Arabic, then you mention the matter that you are confused over or the matter that you're concerned in, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And you do that from 3 days and nights up to 7 days and nights. Is there anything concrete on that? There is no hadith that says 3 or 7. It's just a recommendation from the scholars, from the derivation that they had derived from their understanding of the Sharia. They said from 3 to 7 times. Okay, what about the answer? What about the answer? How do you get the answer? You're going to get a mail that's going to say, okay, gaffer it. You're going to get a letter that says gaffer it. My brothers and my sisters, I want to make something very clear. I want to make something verically. The closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer and the easier the answer comes. The more distant you are away from Allah azza wa jal, the more harder that sometimes it can be. Sometimes it can be. Like for example, you know your mom and dad, you know them very well. Okay? You know that look when your mom gives you? You know. It's either the end of you or it's something good. It's just a look. I don't understand that look from your mom, but you understand it. Why? Because you're close to your mom. You know that look that your father used to give you? Especially on the Arab fathers when they used to give that look, that's you know exactly what's going to happen to you tonight. You know exactly, exactly how many you're going to cop it tonight. You know that look? Why do you understand that look? Because you're close to them. You're close to your parents. You're so close to your parents that just by looking at their faces, you know exactly what they're trying to say to you. It's that relationship, it's that connection that you've established between you and them. I'm not comparing this example to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm saying the closer you are to Allah azza wa jal, the more connection you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stronger the reception that you've got with Allah azza wa jal, the more bars that you've got on your reception. You've been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying Allah azza wa jal, coming to the masajid, doing all those good work, all those good worships. You ask Allah, you feel there's a reception between you and Allah azza wa jal. But you've been so disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you haven't been praying to Allah azza wa jal. You've been disobeying Allah azza wa jal. Now you want to get married, I want to pray to rak'at istikhara and expect Allah to give you an answer. Where were you? You didn't even respond to Allah for years. But that doesn't mean Allah's not going to respond to you. Don't get me wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor raheem. You could be so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Allah now, Allah will respond back to you. But in general, the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer the answer becomes. The more connected you are to Allah azza wa jal, the stronger the reception is. You'll find the answer coming in. You feel, you know that connection? You know that connection? Subhanallah, you feel the answer coming to you. You've got that connection, you know what I mean? You've got that connection between you and Allah azza wa jal. That's in a general form. The closer you are to Allah, the easier and the closer the answer comes to you. The more distant you are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the possibility, again, the possibility that the answer can be delayed. Can be. But Allah ghafur rahim, Allah could. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can respond to you straight away. Okay, that's one. So how do you know the answer? Everyone, the first thing that crosses people's minds is dreams. Khalas, that's why you have to do it before you go to sleep. Huh? You make wudu before you go to sleep, pray two rak'at in your bed, don't talk to anyone, not even your wife, even if she, you know, chucks a tantrum, you're still going to go to sleep, don't talk to anyone, sleep, you're going to see something. And you know what, not only that, what you see, it's got to be nice flowing river with greenery around it, and it's got to be this nice looking person there, and it's got to be sunny, and we're about to show, and people just come up with all those things. It's like, you know, you're going in Alice in Wonderland. It's like a movie. Okay, are you taking someone to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or taking someone to Hollywood? Where do you get these things from? Okay, what about the dreams? Brothers and sisters, there is a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond to you through dreams. Yes, but it's not necessarily to be through dreams. It's not necessary. You've got people who just limit their mindset. The answer must be through dreams. That's what you do before you go to sleep, and you have to see something. And then the next day they wake up and start Googling. Okay, I saw in the dreams that I saw rats and I saw mice and I saw animals, this and that. Ah, subhanallah, that's an answer from Allah Azza for me not to get married to this lady. MashaAllah, she's a very good woman. This is an answer from the shaitan, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because shaitan can't penetrate. Okay, so what's the best form of us understanding the answer? It's your feelings. Your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that connection? You know that natural instinct? That connection that connects you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know that natural instinct that, you know what? You know when you go for something and you feel very comfortable? Okay, I'll give you a better example. You know when you meet someone and this person's so genuine, you feel comfortable? You know what? He's a good person for me to be with. You know that feeling? Maybe you don't know anything about this person, but you know that feeling that you have? Allah, you know this person seems to be genuine? And sometimes you might meet someone, you'll meet someone, I feel very uncomfortable with this person, you know? Feelings. It's more about feelings. But you know what? Also, feelings can be manipulated and shaitan can play with that feeling. That's why you have to be strong. An answer predominantly comes through the feelings, but it goes back to your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you say religious, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from to be from amongst those who are really religious and genuinely religious to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say religious, you've got this feeling, you know what? I feel that this is going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to do it. Sometimes you don't even need to tell, you don't even need to ask a sheikh if it's right or wrong. You know it's wrong. You know how many times people come up to me and say, "Sheikh, I'm about to do this contract, but I feel very uncomfortable about it." Not because, wallah, he's got this background knowledge about it in the Sharia, but because that feeling inside them, it feels, you know what, I'm not doing the right thing. It's just that feeling. So predominantly, the answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your connection to Allah azza wa jal and through your feelings, through your sentiment. You feel, you know what, I feel motivated, I feel happy about it, I feel comfortable. I feel like, you know what, like my chest, my heart is open for it. You feel like I want to go for this thing. That's the answer. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you an answer, you know what, I feel so uncomfortable with it. I feel uncomfortable. I just don't feel right about it. It doesn't sit right in my heart. I don't feel motivated. I feel darkness. You know those feelings that you get? And obviously you can differentiate and distinguish between the right feeling and wrong feeling depending on your iman, because that's what iman is about. Iman is about guiding you to the right thing. So the best and the greatest form of answer is your feeling towards that matter. That's one. Secondly, did you forget what you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua? Ya Allah, make it easy for me. Allah will make it easy for you. Subhanallah. You see things just flowing. You see things just falling into place. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it easy for you. It's like this business, subhanAllah, everything's just going. Everything's just following suit. Everything's just falling in place. Everything's just, you know, everything's just coming together. Or, subhanAllah, I don't know, just, it's like a blockade over a blockade. Roadblock over roadblock. It's like, it's not happening. Because you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, if it's good for me, open it up for me. If it's bad for me, ya Allah, distance me from it and distance it from me. Didn't you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for that? Ya Allah, keep me away from it and keep it away from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you away from it. Allah will block it. Subhanallah, sometimes you look at things, ya Ammi, look, I want it, but it's not happening. It's not happening. It's just not happening. Even though you've got the means and you've got everything, but it's just not happening. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hindering it for you. It's like Allah Azza wa Jalla creating those obstacles to keep you away from it. Why? Because you asked Allah, ya Allah, if it's bad for me, keep me away from it. Keep it away from me. If it's good for me, ya Allah, make it easy for me. So it goes back again to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you or hard for you. That's another sign. So predominantly is your feelings, sentiment, connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again, not feeling on its own, but feelings with connection with Allah azza wa jal. Because sometimes you might have the right feeling, but it's not what pleases Allah azza wa jal. So you've got the right feeling with the right connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, Allah makes it easy for you, if it's good for you. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it very hard for you if it's bad for you. That's predominantly the answer that you get. But you can get an answer through dreams. I am not saying that you're not going to get anything through dreams. You might get answers through dreams. Okay, and it goes back again to feelings, because the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the dreams and he says it is one portion of the prophecy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to communicate with the prophets and messengers through Jibreel and through also dreams. So Allah can communicate with you through dreams, but it's not predominantly through dreams. So don't focus on, okay, I'm going to make istikhara, I'm going to go to sleep, I want to see if I'm going to see something dark or white. If it's dark, no. If it's white, yes. No, that's not right. It's predominantly how you feel about it. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you or hard. That's the prime answer. And subhanAllah, I've experienced it in the past. I'm not saying I'm connected to Allah. InshaAllah, Allah connects me to Him. But subhanAllah, out of maybe 10 istikharat, 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either puts this feeling in me and Allah makes it easy. Subhanallah, I didn't even think it's going to be that easy. And sometimes Allah makes it so hard even though you've got the concept. Like, you know what? This house is worth $1 million. You've got the money, you've got everything, but it's not happening. It's just not happening. And you look around and say, I mean, why is it not happening? I've got the means, I've got the tools, I've got the context, but it's not happening. That's an answer from Allah to say to you, didn't you ask Allah, ya Allah, keep away from it and keep away from me? That's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had done to you now. To keep away from it and to keep it away from you. But again, dreams is one of them. But don't focus too much on the dreams. Before you focus on everything else, focus on your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jalla something. What did you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return? And you do that from 3 to 7 days. You continue doing that. If you are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one istikhara, one dua, Ya Rab, answer comes straight away. You're connected. You are connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. You've got full reception with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got full access with Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because you've built the access with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you haven't spoken to Allah. You haven't prayed to Allah. You haven't asked to Allah for years. And I want to pray istikhara, Ya Allah, give me the answer now. Allah can. Allah ghafur rahim. I'm not saying He wouldn't. But when you really think about it, where have you been all these years? Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so rusty that you need to clean the rust before you even get an answer. Your phone is dead, you need to at least recharge it, update it, and then you'll get an answer. You're outdated, the battery is dead, and you want, okay, for things to work out. Emergency call, you know the emergency calls that you get? And you'll be lucky for even to get a minute of that. So my brothers and my sisters, istikhara is that you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance over a particular matter that you find yourself to be concerned over or confused over. And you ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And it goes back to your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before you ask Allah, and I'm not saying don't ask Allah if you don't have it, but one of the things that you should be focusing on, before you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, establish your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Establish good relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Before you come and ask me for $1,000, at least come and introduce yourself to me. I don't even know who you are. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Hi brother, what's your name, Muhammad? Can you give me $1,000? Well, $1,000 bucks. What? I don't even know who you are. I don't even know who you are. So before you really want to come and ask me for a favor, let me know who you are. When I know you and I get to know you well, inshallah, I'll give you whatever you want. You ask me for 1,000, I'll give you 2. But I don't even know who you are yet. Obviously, I'm just giving you a simple analogy. But this analogy, you can't compare it to us and Allah. Allah's beyond that. Allah's rahmah, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's mercy, Allah's generosity is beyond that. But just keep that in mind. It's your relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives you a stronger answer when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything in particular. Inshallah, next we'll talk about consulting the creation of Allah azza wa jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen here. Any questions? Okay, any questions? Faddal. Again, very good question. How do you differentiate between when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing your sincerity to which direction to take, if this is the right thing, that it goes back to your connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Ikhwani, Iman is experience. I'll tell you something. You're a carpenter. You know me? I'm not a carpenter. I'll have 10 options of 10 different woods. I could go and say, touch this, touch that, this and that. I'll say, this is a good one, this is a bad one. But you as a carpenter, from the first look, no, I'm telling you, this is not a good one. It's experience. You've established that experience over the years. You know if this is a good one, this is a bad one, this is something for you to go for or not. It's the experience that you establish. Iman is like that. Your experience in your Islam, your experience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've been in the deen for so long, you've been worshipping Allah, you've been sacrificing. You establish that experience, you know what? This is what pleases Allah, this is what doesn't please Allah. It's not going to happen just for Allah. Yesterday you're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've been disobeying Allah azza wa jalla for the last 10 years, and you come in the deen, now you think, wallah, okay, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. It's not going to happen, okay? Iman is the experience, like, you know, an experienced plumber, an experienced tailor, an experienced carpenter. They are well experienced when they look at something. An engineer, they are well experienced. They look at it. Yeah, I'm just from the first look, I know this is not going to cope. Experience. I can't pick up on that. I don't have that experience. But if I develop myself and start working as a carpenter, I'll develop that experience. Iman is like that experience. Put it in here. It's like that experience over the years. By you practicing your deen, gaining knowledge, attending the masajid, being in the da'wah, you'll gain that experience. Experience will teach you, iman is so strong, and you have the experience of your iman to say, okay, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. This is sincerity, this is not sincerity. This is what pleases Allah, this does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, this is the struggle that we think, khalas, okay, today, alhamdulillah, I'm going to start praying, and you expect, that's it, mashallah, from Abu Jahl yesterday to Abu Bakr today. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen from Abu Jahl yesterday to Abu Bakr today. Even Abu Bakr took him some time. So, it's all about the iman. And subhanAllah, we want to get everything, but we don't want to strive for it. No, 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 you need to strive for it. Second question. Question, yes.
Say, for example, you want to pray for multiple things. Could you do that?
Okay, with the sunnah prayers, you could pray one prayer with multiple intentions. So I could walk into the masjid before Salat al-Dhuhr, after Adhan al-Dhuhr, and I could pray two rak'at with the intention of two rak'at of Sunnah al-Dhuhr, the same two rak'at with the Sunnah al-Wudu, because I just performed wudu, and the same two rak'at with the intention of Tahiyyat al-Masjid. So two rak'at, three intentions. That's the only sunnah. Fard, you can't. Asr is going to be Asr. I can't go and pray four rak'at with the intention of Asr and Dhuhr. Or the intention of Asr and Dhuhr and Isha, you can't. So sunnah, you can. You could pray two rak'at, multiple intentions. Inshallah, you get the same rewards. Or you get the rewards for those three intentions. When it comes to sunnah, that's when it comes to sunnah. When it comes to fard is only one particular prayer. Any other question before we wrap it up, inshallah? Your question?
Is that about the etiquette of making dua? Is that limited to the istikhara?
No. The etiquette of making dua. What I mentioned to you, that you started off with alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam rasulullah. You ended off with alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam rasulullah. All the adiyah. Every time you make dua, part of the etiquette of the dua, you start with alhamdulillah, ussalat, ussama, rasulullah. You end with alhamdulillah, ussalat, ussama, rasulullah. That's the etiquette of making dua. Raising your hands also, that's a sign and a form of humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I wanna be in Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.